A servant brought them their evening meal. The food was delicious, and they ate with appetite and enjoyment. They ended the meal with a bowl of some hot beverage, which helped them to sleep soundly. Early the next morning, Hannah and Gibba returned. When they lifted the dressing from Merrin's eye, they were pleased to see that the swelling and inflammation had subsided. "We will be able to proceed in 3 days' time," Hannah told them. "By then the wound will have settled, but it will still be sufficiently open to accept the seeding." "Seeding?" Taita asked. "Learned sister, I do not understand the procedure you are describing. I thought you were planning to replace the missing eye with one made of glass or stone. What are the seeds you speak of now?" "I may not discuss the details with you, Brother Magus. Only adepts of the Guild of the Cloud Gardens are privy to this special knowledge. It is natural that I am disappointed not to learn more, for I am impressed with the skills you have demonstrated. This new discovery sounds even more exciting. I look forward at least to observing the end results of your new procedure." Hannah frowned slightly as she replied, "It is not correct to describe this as a new procedure, Brother Magus. It has required the dedicated labours of 5 generations of surgeons here at the Cloud Gardens to bring it so far. Even now it is not yet perfected, but each day brings us closer to our goal. However, I am certain that it will not be long before you may join our guild and take part with us in this work. I am certain also that your contribution will be unique and invaluable. Of course, if there is anything else you wish to know that is not forbidden to those outside the inner circle, I will be happy to discuss it with you." "Indeed, there is something that I would like to ask." The thought of the girls he had first seen by the pool in the forest, then again as they returned along the beach to the sanatorium in the rain, had been lurking in the back of his mind. This seemed a good opportunity to learn more about them, but before the question reached his lips it started to fade. He made an effort to hold on to it. I was going to ask you..." He rubbed his temples as he tried to recall the question. "Something about the women..." He tried to grasp it, but it blew away like morning mist at the rise of the sun. He sighed with annoyance at his foolishness. "Forgive me, I have forgotten what it was." "Then it could not have been of any great importance. It'll probably come back to you later," Hannah said as she rose to her feet. "On a different subject, Magus, I have learned that you are a botanist and herbalist of great learning. We are proud of our gardens. If you'd like to visit them, I'd be delighted to act as your guide." Taita passed most of the following days exploring the Cloud Gardens with Hannah. He expected to be shown much of interest, but his hopes were exceeded 100-fold. The gardens, which extended over half the area of the crater, were filled with a vast multitude of plant species from every climactic region on Earth. "Our gardeners have gathered them over the centuries," Hannah explained. "They have had all that time to develop their skills and understand the needs of every species. The waters that bubble up in the springs are laden with riches, and we have constructed special barns in which we are able to manage the climate." "There must be more to it than that." Taita was not completely satisfied. "It does not explain how giant lobelia and tree heaths, which are plants of the high mountains, can grow beside teak and mahogany, trees of the tropical jungles." "You are perceptive, brother," Hannah conceded, "and correct. There is more to it than warmth, sunlight, and nutrients. When you enter the guild, you will begin to realize the magnitude of the marvels we have here in Jari. But you must not expect instant enlightenment. We are discussing a 1,000-year accumulation of knowledge and wisdom. Nothing so precious that can be obtained in a day." She swung round to face him. "Do you know how long I have lived in this life, Magus?" "I can see that you are a long liver," he replied. "As are you, brother," she replied. "But I was already old on the day you were born, and I am still a novice to the mysteries. I have enjoyed your company these last few days. We often allow ourselves to become isolated in the rarefied intellectual climes of the Cloud Gardens, so talking to you has been a tonic as efficacious as any of our herbal preparations. However, we must go back now. I must make the final arrangements for tomorrow's procedure." They parted at the gates to the garden. It was still early in the afternoon, and Taita made his way round the lake at a leisurely pace. From one spot there was a particularly splendid vista across the full length of the crater. When he came to it, he sat on a fallen tree trunk and opened his mind. Like an antelope sniffing the air for the scent of the leopard, he searched the ether for any trace of a malicious presence. There was none that he could discern. It was tranquil, yet he knew this might be an illusion. He must be close to the witch's lair, for all the psychic signs and auguries pointed to her presence. This hidden crater would make her a perfect stronghold. The many wonders he had already discovered here might be the product of her magic. Hannah had hinted at it less than an hour ago when she had said, "There is more to it than warmth, sunlight, and nutrients." In the eye of his mind he saw Eos, sitting patiently at the centre of her web, like a monstrous black spider, waiting for the faintest quiver on the gossamer strands before she sprang at her prey. He knew that those invisible meshes were spread for him, that he was already trapped among them. Until now he had been testing the ether passively and quietly. He had been tempted to make a cast for Fen, but he knew that if he did so he might invite the witch in her place. He could not put Fen in such danger, and he was about to close his mind when he was struck by a tidal wave of psychic turmoil that made him cry out and clutch his temples. He reeled and almost lost his seat on the log. Somewhere close to where he sat, a tragedy was being played out. It was difficult for his mind to accept such sorrow and suffering, such utter evil, as rushed across the ether to him, almost overwhelming him. He struggled against it, like a drowning swimmer fighting a riptide in the open ocean. He thought he was going under, but then the turmoil abated. He was left with a dark sadness that such a terrible event had touched him, and he had been helpless to intervene. It was a long time before he recovered sufficiently to stand up and set off along the path towards the clinic. As he came out onto the beach, he saw another disturbance taking place near the middle of the lake. This time he could be certain that it was physical reality he was witnessing. He saw the scaly backs of a pack of crocodiles breaking the surface, their tails slashing in the air. They seemed to be feeding on carrion, fighting over it in a frenzy of greed. He stopped to watch them and saw a bull crocodile breach clear out of the water. With a shake of its head, it tossed a chunk of raw meat high into the air. As it fell back, the beast seized it once more and with a swirl disappeared below the surface. Taita watched until it was almost dark, and then, deeply troubled, walked back across the lawns. Merrin woke as soon as he entered the room. He seemed refreshed and unaffected by Taita's somber mood. As they shared the evening meal, he joked with morbid humour about the operation Hannah was planning for the following day. He referred to himself as the Cyclops about to be given an eye of glass.